Welcome back to KSCJ Radio, 1360 AM, 94.9 FM in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vikulskis, and this is Having Read That, conversations with authors about their books.
My guest is Naomi Krupitsky. She is a debut novelist, and what a debut it is. It's the novel is called The Family. It is available wherever your fine books are sold. Check it out, especially at your local bookstores. I know that's something that's near and dear to Naomi's heart. But Naomi, jumping right into this book, we'll get into your bookstore bookselling abilities. But this story, I love the fact that it starts in the late 20s in an area of Brooklyn known as, I think it's Red Hook. But when you have a story like this that has the mafia aspect, the family aspect, the sisterhood, the motherhood, fatherhood, all of that stuff, how do you pick that particular starting point in these little girls' lives to jump in and begin the story?
So that is such an interesting version of this question. I keep answering about how I got to these two little girls, but I don't know how I got to this time period. It just felt right to me. But the way that I got to this story was through this image that kind of came to me all at once about of these two little girls. So Sophia and Antonia, they're the central relationship of this book. They grow up together and we watch them over the course of their lives. And they grow up together in adjoining apartments in Red Hook. So their bedrooms literally share a wall, and the two of them are sort of polar opposites. So Sophia is sort of loud, she's bold, she's a real rule breaker, and Antonia is introspective, she's just more thoughtful, and we get to watch their personalities sort of balance and play off of one another over the course of their lives, which was such a pleasure for me to write and such a cool way to get into the world of Brooklyn at this time.
Well, there's so many common themes among teenage girls, among young preteen teenage girls, but these two belong in a sort of exclusive club because their families are involved in the business, in the mafia. So when they have each other to talk to, they really don't have anybody else outside of that small little circle that can truly understand what each of them is going through. Is that fair?
That's absolutely fair. Yeah. They grow up together. They're a pair, and that's a privilege for them, but they're also very isolated. And in that way, it was more sort of fruitful and interesting for me to explore the boundaries of their friendship because they didn't have an alternative to one another. So they always come back together. And that was really fun for me to explore.
When you have this aspect of a teenager's life, and that's such a formative period of time, I would think that their morals and their ethos or their ethics, rather, are skewed by what they see every day with their fathers coming home from this particular business. And so how did you use that to influence maybe their outward appearance to other people whose families are not involved in that business?
Yeah, so I think that when you're a teenager, and I only have the experience of being a teenage girl, but I assume it's true for all teenagers, there are ways in which you feel like you're alone on an island no matter what. And so Sophia and Antonia are really alone on a cultural island, and they have to figure out how they feel about the reality of the world around them and about the ways that they were made and the families that they grew up in, and that's capital S family for the mafia, and also lowercase s, just like their relationship with their moms. And I think what I hope is that there's something relatable in the way that they have to navigate becoming a person and sort of forming their own moral compasses, which is something teenagers are all doing at that time. I hope that there's something sort of universal in the ways that they do that, even though their standards and sort of the ways that they're building their moral compasses are much different than most teenagers are.
With both dads being mob guys here, I love the interaction in the book between the daughters because it seemed like these tough mob guys, you have to maintain a certain front. You come home and you kind of lose that front, and it really has a way of taking away that shield to have to deal with your daughter. So how did you come upon how a mafia father would interact with a daughter?
Well, I really want you to love the characters in this book. I want the readers to love these fathers. And so for me, that meant being able to see them fully. So you see them doing their business out in the dark, and then you also see them coming home and being really tender fathers, and you get to watch the way that the strategies they might employ to convince somebody to do what they want out in the world. So, you know, punching somebody in the face, for example, you're not going to do that at home. Well, these dads are not going to do that at home. They're good dads. And so how do they navigate these small, stubborn, intense women that they're raising? That was a big question for me, and it was such a fun dynamic to sort of figure out.
It seemed like in this country, our whole insight into the mafia, unless you know somebody personally, especially over the last 25, 30 years, has been The Sopranos and how Tony Soprano would interact with his family. How much did you, as a fiction writer, have to try to pull away from using that as the template? Because that in itself is a creative process. So how do you pull away from The Sopranos template to get these family interactions and to try to make them your own?
Yeah, so The Sopranos is incredible. And The Sopranos, I absolutely would credit with, I credit The Sopranos for helping me to understand how much can be contained in one person. So Tony Soprano, for example, I've never seen almost anything more violent in my life than some of the things that Tony Soprano does. At the same time, he can be a good father. He has panic attacks. He can be introspective. And I wanted to take that understanding of how to make people as complex as they really are into characterizing the people in my novel. I think one way that I stepped away from that mold is by focusing the novel through the women's perspective. So we see the wives and the daughters and the women sort of surrounding these mob men, and we get to see what they know and how powerful they are and what makes them angry. And we get to see them sort of coming to terms with the choices that they've made to enter into these families also. And then another thing is that I just read really widely. So The Sopranos is canonical, but it's not alone. There's a ton of literature and sort of a big wide net of cultural understanding of what the mafia could be. And I tried to sort of read and immerse myself and watch as widely as possible. I actually have a few episodes left in The Sopranos. I have not finished it because I had to sort of, I'd watch a little and then I'd have to sort of pull away so that it didn't get too much into the book. And I hope that I balanced that well. You know, I wanted to engage with the canon of work that exists about the mafia. And so to do that, I had to watch it and I had to read it. But I also wanted this to feel like its own story.
I'm chatting with Naomi Kropitsky about her brand new novel, The Family. It is available everywhere. You can check it out at your local bookstore. Naomi, the city of New York, you know, Brooklyn in particular, but the city of New York becomes a character in this book. And so you take it through, as the time spans different eras of New York, the stock market crash, Prohibition, World War II, all of those things. How did you go about getting yourself into that mindset? Because I know a lot of authors will go research and they will take in the sights and smells. You're dealing with essentially a historical period here. So how did you capture that other than being able to look at pictures, I suppose, that are available out there?
So there's tons of pictures, and that was great, actually. You can use Google Maps to look at a picture of a specific block in Brooklyn in 1940. That was an incredible tool. I also think that New York, maybe more than other cities, at least more than other cities in my experience, operates as a character. So I knew that New York would feel like New York, even if it was 1940 and the BQE was being built. And I wanted to communicate that timeless sense of New York City, the feeling of being there, the way that it begins to operate as a living, breathing character in your life, something that you're in relationship with. And I think that would have been true for these characters, too. And then it was a matter of getting the history in there enough that you felt like you had a sense of time, but not in there so much that the work is weighed down by historical details. And if the city comes alive in there, I think it's due to the balance of my being able to communicate sort of the timelessness of New York, but also having an understanding of those historical details that bring Brooklyn to life in that specific time period.
When you age a character, I would think this is difficult to do. You age a character and you take the traits that they had as younger people and extrapolate that into what it would be like older. How difficult is that to do as a writer when you try to decide how these events affect somebody later in life?
I mean, it's so difficult. It's so hard, and it's about figuring out who somebody's going to be. But at the same time, that's the only thing I'm interested in. And I think maybe a lot of writers would agree with this, but I feel like the hardest things, the most complicated things, were the things that I couldn't stay away from. So I couldn't make this just about two little girls. I had to make it about their entire families, and I had to make it their whole lives. Just because as I got more interested in it, the challenge of sort of seeing these people and their lives to the fullest became what was driving me to continue to write.
You've been called a debut novelist 1,000 times, and I'm sure you'll be called it 1,000 or more times more, but where do you come to this whole writing and publishing writing aspect from? You have an interesting route to this path.
So I actually, you know, it's interesting in that I don't have a graduate degree, but other than that, I've studied writing for my whole life. Reading has always been my favorite thing to do, and, you know, I read something somewhere that said I was self-taught, and I just feel so incredibly taught. I feel so taught by the world around me, and by the books that I read, and by the artists that I'm lucky to talk to, and by the family that I grew up in for this. Of course, I used a lot of myself in this book. It is absolutely what I've always wanted to do, and I think a lot of the choices I made in adulthood have been in the service of being able to write this book in particular, but books in general. And so I feel just very sort of supported by the choices I've made and very lucky. I think there's a lot of luck involved in this process. But I have always been on my way here.
Anybody who reads a lot is always told by people who know that they have that characteristic, oh, you should write your own book, as if it's just that easy. So what'd you learn going into this? Because it's not an easy task.
Oh, it's not easy. And, you know, I think on a practical level, you have to take it one day at a time. So if I knew in 2015 that this book was going to take me 6 years to write, there would have been no way to write it, because you just can't conceive of that much work all at once. But every day, all I had to do was sit down and work for an hour or two. And in that way, it became this digestible thing that I was living through. And I think if that's what you want to do, if what you want to do is write a book, that's what you have to do. You have to just take it one day at a time. You have to not stop. You have to be able to see the days when you wake up and you go, oh, this is actually like a crappy book and I'm going to throw it in the toilet as part of the process. And you have to go like, okay, today it's a crappy book, and then you move on and you try again tomorrow. And so there's an incredible amount of, I mean, for me, regiment and regularity is what was able to sort of carry me through the moments when I didn't know, I couldn't locate myself in the process. I couldn't tell how it was going. For me, that sort of regularity was able to take me through those moments.
She's Naomi Kropitsky. The novel is The Family. It is available everywhere. Pick it up at your bookstore or go online and order it. Naomi, just fantastic book. I loved it, and I thank you for joining me to talk about it.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been such a pleasure.
This has been Having Read That on KSCJ Radio. I'm Brian Vakulskas. Check out all of our episodes on our website, kscj.com, and subscribe to our iTunes podcasts. Thanks to music historian Molly Jolly and segment producer John Weisler. We will be back next time.